Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, welcome everyone who's joining us in Oak Creek, Franklin, everyone online, and everyone in Greenfield. It is so great to be with you today. If we haven't yet met, my name is Tyler, and I get to serve as one of the teaching pastors here at The Ridge. And we are heading into that home stretch right towards Christmas. And so, guys, if you haven't gotten that special someone their gift yet, I'll see you in the store this week. And let's figure that one out together. But hey, today we are wrapping up our series that we've been in called Love Has a Name. We're taking it to get us through the Christmas time, and gonna give credit where credit is due. We got the series idea and content, a lot of it from a guy named Adam Weber, who's a pastor out in Sioux Falls, and from a book that he wrote. But before we jump into where we're going to go today, I have to share a quick confession with all of you, and that is, over the last few weeks, my wife and kids, they actually broke me down. And here's what I mean by that. They've spent the last several months and years asking me if we could have a fur baby in our home, and specifically, they wanted a cat, and I'm not really a cat person. And so I've come up with all of these reasons why we shouldn't be able to do that. And, you know, we have friends over, they're allergic, you know, we can't handle a cat in a house. Well, then a few weeks ago, someone, I don't know who, just abandoned a cat at my in-law's house. And it was a little kitten. And my mother-in-law calls us up and says, there's nowhere for this little kitten to go. And so now I have the kids, my wife, and now my mother-in-law asking me to take this cat. And you guys know, when the mother-in-law gets involved, you can't say no. And so right now in our house, Love has a name. And this name is Fluffy the cat. And they're... Oh, you guys give the big aw, like you're on my wife's and kids' side. What's going on? Well, a number of you guys, you know I'm not a cat person. I know you guys have been asking me the last few weeks, like, hey, Tyler, how are you handling with the cat in the house? I'm doing okay, but I'm a little angry at my wife after she staged this photo when I fell asleep on the couch. And there's the cat right there. Yep. Now, don't worry. If you're not a cat person, I'm not going to talk about the cat the rest of the time. All right, so we'll go through. But what we've been doing throughout this series is that love really does have a name. And we've been looking at that name, and that name is Jesus. And we've been seeing how Jesus came into the world, and he just introduced this whole new idea of what it means to love someone. And what that means, it's this unconditional, self-sacrificial, can't stop, won't stop loving you no matter what. And Jesus showed us that this is a love that costs you something. And since he introduced it into the world, this type of love, it changed the world. We see as his followers that this matters the most to Jesus. We are called to love people and love others like Jesus. And so what we've been doing is we've been going on this journey together to learn from Jesus, what does it mean to love someone so that we can love other people like Jesus, especially during this Christmas time of year. And what we've been seeing about the Christmas time of year is that so many people we know, Christmas just magnifies and multiplies the issues that we face throughout the year. And so we know people who are dealing with more loneliness this time of year. They're dealing with more financial problems and struggles and many relational issues and relational and family dysfunction. It just seems to creep up and magnify, especially during this time of year. And so what we've been doing is learning, well, how can we love others like Jesus as they're going through these struggles so that they have something to celebrate during this Christmas season? And our hope and prayer for all of us, really, as we've been going throughout the series, is this, is that we would be known for how much we love people like Jesus. And we're saying Jesus because Jesus is our reference point. He's our standard. He set the bar for us as his followers. We want to follow him. And we see Jesus just love people personally and specifically. And our hope is that we would be known for this, meaning that would be our reputation. And unfortunately, we know as a church at large and for many Christians, this isn't their reputation. Their reputation is more known for being how judgmental or hypocritical they are, but we can change that reputation by loving people just like Jesus. And that's where this can get challenging for us because we're talking about loving all people, awkward people, difficult people, people that we need to forgive, people who have hurt us. We love all people just like Jesus. And so that's what we've been doing on this journey, is learning what does it mean to love others like Jesus. And if you're joining us today, or you're checking us out and you're curious about following Jesus, you aren't sure if you follow Jesus yet or not, here's my hope for you, is that you would see how much Jesus is for you and loves you, that you would actually consider following Jesus this Christmas season. But for the rest of us, we've been learning from him. This is what it means. And we've committed to loving specific people just like Jesus. And if you missed any of the previous weeks, I really want to encourage you to go online or go onto our YouTube channel, and you can watch and catch up there. Or if you prefer to listen to podcasts, you can catch up wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, today, what we're going to do is we're going to learn from Jesus how he loved people who look very different than us. Maybe they even do some things that we would say, yeah, I don't really like what they did. Or maybe we wouldn't even say this out loud, and it's a strong word, but it's a strong emotion that we feel. We hate what they did. And maybe we even hate what they stand for. How do we love people like that? Well, Jesus shows us in a great interaction that's actually recorded for us in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. If you actually have a Bible with you, I would actually encourage you to turn there or download the YouVersion Bible app on your phone. And if you don't have a Bible with you, we actually would love for all of you to have a Bible on your own. So we give them away at our Next Steps area for free if you don't have one. And I'd encourage you just to swing by on your way out and just say, hey, I need a Bible. Especially this interaction, I think you will want to read as we head into the Christmas week, because this shows us the heart of God. And since it shows us the heart of God, it shows us our heart, what it should be as well when we follow Jesus. And so here's the interaction that Mark records in Mark chapter 2. He starts off in this interaction. He says, once again, Jesus went out beside the lake, and there was a large crowd, which generally happens when Jesus is around. A crowd gathers around him. They're drawn to his teachings and to his miracles. And so Jesus began to teach this crowd, and as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And we talked about this before. Tax collectors in this community were considered to be the worst of the worst. They were just really looked down on in the rest of their society. Reason for that, they were considered these traitors on their people working for the Roman Empire that's oppressing them. And it was just publicly known that they would overcharge and pocket the difference, and they would get rich, and there was nothing no one could do about it. And since we talk about this a lot, it's easy to kind of skip over this and not appreciate what's really going on. And so I just want to explain it like this for a moment. Just imagine for a moment, now this isn't true, so you know, hold that, but just imagine for a moment, I came and I met your parents. And I don't know a whole lot about your parents, you know, like I'm sure they're really good. I'm sure they cared about you. I'm sure you care about them. And I want you just to imagine for a moment that I went and I took the opportunity to steal every cent that I could from your parents. And you're like, the pastor does that? No, I didn't do it, but just imagine, you know, just imagine, you know, that I stole every cent that I could from your parents. I got rich off of them. And I don't just do it one time. I do this every time that I can. They work hard for their money. I work harder to take it from your parents. Their way of life, it doesn't get better. In fact, it gets worse. My way of life, I just keep getting richer and richer and richer off of your parents. Feeling uncomfortable yet? I don't just do it to them. I do this to you as well. Take every cent I can, every opportunity I can. And I don't just do this to you. If your kids are old enough, I'm going to do this to your kids. And I'm just going to keep taking every cent that I can again and again. I'm just getting richer and richer and richer, because I'm not just doing it to your family. I'm doing it to everyone in the community's family. So think about the family sitting behind you, in front of you, next to you. I'm doing this to all of you. There's nothing you can do. And I am getting rich off of all of you while you are still struggling. How would you feel about me? You wouldn't like me very much. Get very angry, probably would even hate me as a result of all of that stealing. And whatever emotions you're feeling, that's the emotions that they are feeling every time that they see Levi. This is being the crowd. And so whenever they had this interaction, they thought, oh, that guy, he's just the scum of the earth. But remember the word that Mark used when he was describing how Jesus came into contact with Levi. He used the word saw. Jesus saw this man who was very hated. And the word saw actually means he saw this potential in him.
Jesus saw Levi as a person. He saw him as someone who has value. In fact, here's how much value he saw in Levi. He actually calls out to him. And we read that Jesus said, "Follow me." And Levi got up and he actually followed Jesus. And this is a surprising twist because they knew back then religious leaders would only invite what was considered to be the best of the best to follow the religious leader. It was considered this high honor to know what they know and to do what they do. And so when Jesus calls out to Levi, the whole crowd would have like just gasped, like, you can't make that invitation to Levi. Even Levi would have been stunned. He's like, you're calling out to me? And yet Levi, he actually gets up and he follows Jesus, which means he walks away from his way of life. He gives all of those riches behind, and he knows that he's leaving it behind for good. Because if you quit on the Roman Empire, that bridge is burned. You're not getting that job back. In fact, he's probably risking his life because the Roman Empire might actually want to seek revenge out on him for wanting to leave him and quit on the empire. And so Levi knows what he's risking. But yet there's something so compelling about Jesus that he said, I'm willing to leave it all and I'm willing to go follow him because he saw this in me. And this is just fascinating already that Jesus would respond to Levi this way. But Mark tells us, hey, this interaction isn't done because Jesus actually goes to Levi's house. And then he tells us what happens is that he's having dinner at Levi's house, which back then to be at someone's house and to have dinner with someone was considered like telling others, hey, we're in the same social circle. Like we're boys hanging out this way. And so they're having dinner together. And there were many tax collectors and sinners who were eating with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many people who followed them. And so picture this party. You got this very interesting mix where on this side you have Jesus and his closest followers, and then you have Levi and many, many of his friends, other tax collectors and so-called sinners. And think if we just had one person that we were like, oh, you know, stealing the scent from the community, now we have multiple there. Like, oh, this is an interesting mix. To personalize it today, imagine Jesus is at a party with your boss who lies, or your ex who cheated, or Craig Counsell who bolted for the Cubs. You're like, I don't think so. You know, like we would want to disassociate ourselves with them, like distance ourselves with them. But yet Jesus is hanging out with them and spending time at a party with them. What's going on? And we aren't the only ones to have these questions. There's a group of people that see all of this, and they start asking Jesus, why are you doing this and spending time with them? And they actually go and they ask Jesus that. These are the religious leaders known as the Pharisees, and they actually go to Jesus' closest followers and ask this about Jesus. They say, Jesus, why does he eat with these tax collectors and sinners? And other translations would actually say scum. And the religious leaders, they would actually say, well, we're supposed to like hang out with ourselves and hang out with people like us. We don't get why Jesus would hang out with the worst of the worst. And if you've ever grown up in church before, you may have heard of the Pharisees kind of like being called these so-called bad guys who opposed Jesus. The truth is back then, they were actually considered to be the good guys. They were known as being very good at keeping all of these religious rules so that they could honor God. And here they're trying to outgood God and outgood Jesus by who they're trying to hang out with. Because they thought, no, we honor God by not hanging out with people who are so different and distant from us. That we need to stay away from them and just hang out with people like us. You can imagine who they party with. It's just themselves. And so they're genuinely confused and wondering, why would Jesus spend time with someone who is just so different than him? And Jesus hears this question and hears the genuine curiosity behind the question that he shares an answer with them. And this answer is so brilliant. It shows the heart of Jesus, and it shows us the very reason why we can celebrate Christmas. Here's what Jesus says. He gives them the purpose statement as to why he's here. He says, on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but rather it's the sick. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners. And I'm going to reconnect those who have disconnected themselves from God. I'm going to reconnect them back to God. He says, love has come and love's going to do whatever it takes to show others that love has a name. I'm that name. And I've come to help them
to know that they have value and they are loved by God, and I'm here to reconnect them with God. And what Jesus is showing these religious leaders is, I've come for them. If you're doing okay, you know, and you feel like you're doing okay on your own, good for you. But I've come for those who know that they need me. And I've come to help them reconnect with God. My job isn't to distance myself from them. My job is to come for them. Or if we were to see this today, Jesus would see someone who looks so different and distant from everyone else. If he saw them sitting at the table, he would say, I'm not here to condemn them or guilt them or label them. Rather, I'm here to love them. And love does this. Love pulls up a chair and he sits down with them. He gets to know them and welcome them and hear their story. And he goes and spends time by sharing a meal with them or sharing a drink with them and letting them know that he's here for them to welcome that person. And when love pulls up a chair to welcome someone, even when they're different and distant from you, it starts to draw them in where they feel that love. And they're drawn in to say, I see that love has a name and love came for me. And this is how a life has changed. Have you ever had anyone pull up a chair for you and welcome you in this way? I have. And I am so grateful for it. When I started becoming curious about Jesus, but then I had doubts about Jesus and I walked away as a result of those doubts, I had two guys in my life, guys named Kurt and Chris, who actually pulled up a chair and began to ask me different questions. And I was able to express my doubts to them and we began to have conversations and they welcomed me. They didn't condemn me or guilt me. And it was because of those guys that I actually became drawn to them even more and drawn to the church that they were a part of. And it was there that I made the decision to follow Jesus, where I was drawn to them. And as I was drawn to follow Jesus, it just changed my life. And it sounds so simple, this idea of pulling up a chair and loving someone this way, but yet it can be so challenging for us when someone is gonna look so different than us. But even in the simple act of pulling up a chair, this is what can change a life. And this is our purpose, to help others experience the love of Jesus. When we love them like others, we just simply pull up a chair to love just like Jesus. Now, in order to do this well, there's a few choices that we have to make. And we see Jesus make these choices in this interaction with Levi, and we can follow his lead. And when we pull up a chair, we need to make several choices. The first choice we need to make is we need to make the choice that we're going to choose others over ourselves. And this really goes against the grain of our natural leanings when it comes to the idea of choosing someone before ourselves. In fact, the other day I went on Google and I just typed in that phrase into the Google search bar, how to choose others over ourselves. And Google thought I made a mistake based on the results it gave me. We'll see that it started asking, well, why, you know, I choose me and why you should as well. And why is it hard for me to choose myself? And these are just responses when you're asking, well, how do I choose others over ourselves? And it's that natural leaning of like, no, you should choose yourself first. Choose yourself first. And that's what our culture tells us. In fact, I know that when I'm tired, I lean more introverted naturally. And so I'm thinking, well, how can I recharge myself before even thinking about other people? And I start thinking about, well, I like to go for runs, or I like to listen to podcasts or watch YouTube or Netflix on my own. And I would much rather do that on my own before it comes to choosing to be with other people, especially people who are different than me. And if you lean more extroverted, you might lean a little bit differently, where you might think like, well, I just want to be with people, but I want to be with people that recharge me, you know, and the people who are like me. And I don't necessarily want to go and be with people who drain me, who are different than me. And that was the Pharisees that were around Jesus. They're like, we should just be around people who are just like us. And all of that, whether you lean introverted or extroverted, no matter which way you lean, that's choosing ourselves over others. But what Jesus is inviting us to do, he says, hey, I want us to choose others over ourselves, especially when they look and think differently than we do. And this goes against the grain of our culture today, because our culture today really is dividing us based on our differences and how we think and how we believe.
And it's almost like this big sorting game that we find ourselves in now that tells us, well, if you vote one way, you need to hang out over here with all the people that just vote the similar way as you. And if you vote a different way, you don't belong here. You got to come over here and hang out and vote with the people who hang out over here. And this is where we hang out and do things our way. Or if you're pro one idea, then you got to be over here with the other people who are pro that idea and only be with people who think that same way. And if you're anti that idea, you don't belong here. You belong over here who are also anti that idea. And we just sort ourselves based on how we think and believe and vote. And here's the risk with all of that. We just find ourselves just completely divided and only with people who think, look, act, and believe and vote like ourselves. And Jesus said, I came for so much more than that. I came for us to choose others over ourselves, to pull up a chair and to demonstrate my love to one another regardless of who they are. And this was the charge of the early church. In the early church, they tore down those barriers and those walls. In fact, Paul, one of the early church leaders, he wrote to a church like this, and he said, hey guys, here's what we want to keep in mind, that there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And what Paul isn't saying, he's not saying, hey, give up all your differences and uniqueness. He's saying, no, love has come for all. And everyone, regardless of who they are, has equal access to this love. That Jesus' love came to tear down the barriers and the walls that divide us. And he says, when we choose others over ourselves, we do the same because everyone should have the equal access to the love of Jesus. I think a great example of choosing others over ourselves actually happened in 2016, and such a well-known story that's just really inspiring. And that is when Wanda Dench was actually texting who she thought was her grandson the details for Thanksgiving dinner. And she sends this young man named Jamal this text message. He accidentally gets it, and he kind of feels like something's up. He's like, hey, you know, who's texting me? And she's like, well, it's your grandma. And he's like, is it really? Can you send me a picture of you? And they start sending pictures of each other back, and they realize, oh, we swapped out some numbers and we're texting different people than what we thought we were. But then Jamal just asked this simple but yet powerful question. He's like, hey, can I still show up? And can I still get a plate? And Wanda says, you know what? This is what grandmas do. Grandmas feed everyone. So come on over. And what I love, and you, who knows, you know, you're kind of wondering, hey, who's going to show up at my house? Whose house am I going to? You know, what's going to happen? They had a great meal, and it started this great friendship together. In fact, they've been doing this for the last 8 years with Grandma Wanda and Jamal having Thanksgiving dinners together. And it's just the beauty of a powerful friendship that has happened. Even though they may have had different ways of life, they say, you know what? We now have this friendship because of the simple act of choosing others over ourselves. So that's the first choice we make. The second choice, in order to pull up a chair, is we need to make the choice to do good over being right. And this really goes against the grain of our culture as well, because our culture just says, hey, just be right. You know, just be right. Tell everyone how right you are. Stand up for what you believe in. Stand up for your truth and just tell others how right you are. And you're going to change the world when you tell others how right you are and your way of life is just this right. The challenge is that when we keep telling others how right we are, we don't draw people in. We push them away with our approach of how right we are. And what we see Jesus do in his life is he never separates doing good from being right. Now, to be clear, Jesus is God, and so his way is always right, and he always did the right thing. But the religious leaders, they had these rules that they considered to be right. And whenever these rules started violating another person, Jesus said, no, we're going to tear that rule down. And so when they said you couldn't touch the sick, Jesus went and touched and healed them. When they would say you can't perform miracles on certain days because it's a religious rule, Jesus said, no, people matter more than this rule. I'm going to heal them. I'm going to help them. When people said, well, you can't hang out with people based on who they are, Jesus said, no, I'm going to go and show them that they are worthy of my love as well. Jesus chose good and to do good over being right every single time. And what's great about that is he made doing good the right thing to do. I really appreciate how Irwin McManus, who's a pastor who wrote in his book, The Genius of Jesus, he just says it simply like this. He said, Jesus made doing good the right thing to do.
And so out of his way, he'd just say, I'm going to go. I'm going to do good and show others that they are worthy of my love. And here's what happened. We saw this in the interaction with Levi. When he went out of his way to love him, Levi was drawn to Jesus and he followed Jesus and his life was changed as a result. And we see this order play out again and again in most followers of Jesus. Is that first, they will be drawn to another follower of Jesus' love. They'll be drawn to our love before they love our God. And that's what happens when we make the choice to say, hey, we're going to go out of our way to do good over being right. And that comes with the second choice to make that to do that. And then the third choice that we make is we have to personally admit that we need Jesus too. In order to pull up a chair and to love that other person well, we come from a place of humility when we realize, hey, I need Jesus as much as anyone. And I want to put up the statement that Jesus said in response to those religious leaders, that purpose statement of why he came. And I think this is actually a great statement for us to memorize as we head into Christmas. Because here's what Jesus said. He said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but it's the sick. He says, I've not come to call the righteous. I have come to call sinners. And the reason why I want us to think about this is we will find ourselves in one of three spots in the statement. And we're not the doctor, because that's Jesus. That's his job. But if we say that we are healthy and we are right, we'll find ourselves in the same spot as those religious leaders who are opposing Jesus. And I don't know about you, I don't want to oppose Jesus, not winning that fight. But if we find ourselves in the spot of the sick, we will find ourselves being healed from Jesus. And this sick, it means we're spiritually sick, where we're realizing, yeah, we've all done something that has disconnected us from God. And we've been separated from him. And Jesus said, I came to bring hope and healing, to take care of that sin and to reunite you back with God. This isn't a bad thing. This is just admitting that we're sick and that we need Jesus. And the truth is, the challenge for many of us, it's not whether we are sick or not, or we are sinners or not. It's realizing it or admitting it or not. I think of it like this. If you're a parent and you have a baby, one of the hardest challenges of raising a baby is the baby not able to communicate what's going on and what they're feeling. And if they get fussy and they're restless and maybe they're tugging at their ear, maybe you get to a spot where you think, yeah, you know, I need to take them to the doctor. And you take them to the doctor checks the ear, and the doctor says, yes, the ear is infected, and you need some medicine to clear up this infection. Well, that baby's always been sick with that ear infection. But now that you realize it and admit it, now you can actually give the baby the medicine to help the baby get the healing that she needs. And that's what happens when we admit that we need Jesus as well. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, he said, no one is righteous. We are all spiritually sick. And so the question for us is, are we going to realize that and admit it and go to Jesus and say, Jesus, would you bring this hope and healing in my life? And here's where this plays in when we pull up a chair and we love that other person. We come from a posture of humility, because now we are not right people telling wrong people how to get right. We are people who are finding hope and healing through Jesus, coming alongside someone in a loving way saying, here's how you can find hope and healing through him as well. And when we come with that posture of humility, it welcomes others to be not just be drawn to our love, but to be drawn to the love of Jesus. And one of the things I love about the Ridge is we see this happen week in and week out at all of our locations. In fact, a couple weeks ago, we were celebrating baptisms at all of our locations. And I love when we celebrate baptisms, and I love all the stories that come from it. But a few weeks ago, there was one story of a lady that just really just sucked me in. And what this lady began to share with us was just some details of a horrific past that she experienced. Had horrible, horrible things happen to her. And as a result of that, she was just carrying this tremendous weight of guilt and shame that she was just experiencing. And she was looking for this hope and healing that so many of us are looking for. And she told us that she went to a couple churches. And this is heartbreaking to say, but sad to say, some of those churches and those church leaders, they walked her out. They said, what you bring in here isn't welcome here.
and dejected, I loved how she just continued to just find strength, just continue to find healing. She ended up at one of our locations at the Ridge. And it was here at the Ridge, I'm just so proud of so many individuals who said, you know what, we're gonna make these choices to choose to do good over being right, and to choose her over ourselves, and to admit and show how we've needed Jesus in our life to come alongside and welcome her in this way. They started to hear her story. They get to know her over coffees and lunch. They'd invite her into their teams and into their groups. And she formed just significant friendships here because of these individuals who went out of their way to welcome her. And as she was feeling welcomed and loved, along with her child that she had as well, she was just drawn to more and more people here. And then drawn to Jesus, where she reached the point and said, you know what? I'm in. I want to follow Jesus. I want to experience the hope and healing that he has to offer my life. I choose to be in. And then she even made the choice to get baptized and go public with her decision to follow him. And she'd say, my life has changed because of what Jesus has done in me and has done through the Ridge and how they've welcomed me. And I hear that and I'm just like, that's what this is about. This is why we want to do what Jesus has called us to do, to love others like he has loved us. Because we have this opportunity to help many, many people experience this hope and healing Jesus has for us. And we're heading right into the week where we can do this at a huge, huge level. See, as we are wrapping up the series and heading into this Christmas week, we know one of the things about this Christmas season and any Christmas season is that those who are not yet following Jesus and not yet connected to a church, they are looking for more hope and healing, and they're more open to Jesus this time of year than any other time of year as well. And so what this means as we begin to wrap up this series and head into this week is, are we gonna make those same choices that Jesus made and pull up a chair and love others like he loved us? And so what does that look like for us as we head into this week? For you, maybe you've been committed to inviting this person that you've been loving to one of our Christmas services. Keep inviting, keep going. But don't just stop there. For others of us, we've been inviting and we know they may be coming. Here's what we do. We pull up a chair and we host and we welcome them well. Maybe we adjust the service that we're attending so we can be at the same service that they're gonna go at. And we host them well when they come into service. We walk them through the lobby. We walk them and show them all the different areas where they can get a hot cocoa bar, where their kids can check in. We pull up a chair at one of our locations and we sit with them in service. Maybe we take them out for coffee or lunch afterwards. We get to hear their story, hear about their experience, where we choose to put them over ourselves, and we share how Jesus has brought us hope and healing as well. But we go out of our way to serve them. Maybe for you, maybe it's others who are bringing their friends and you're saying, you know what, I'm not gonna fight over a parking spot. I'm gonna defer a seat to others. I'm gonna love them well so that they can experience the hope and love of Jesus this Christmas season. And so we know that there are so many in our community that they are just looking for something to celebrate this Christmas. And it's more than Christmas lights and movies and music, but they can celebrate the fact that love has a name and love has come for them to help them be reconnected with the Father who loves them. And you could be the one to introduce them. Love can be you, your name, when they think about you going out of your way to choose them over yourself and to do good over right and to show them where they can find hope and healing through Jesus this Christmas season. And so as we wrap up our time together, here's what we're gonna do together at all of our locations. We're gonna spend some time just praying together for God to move through us this Christmas season. And we're just gonna invite and beg and plead God to do so many incredible things throughout this week. Not just that we have a great Christmas service, but that God would use this to show our names that we've been committed to loving, that love has a name and his name is Jesus, and Jesus has come for them. So wherever you are right now, would you just pray with me as we pray for these services? As God, we know that you have come, and you have come for us, those who admit that we need you, Jesus. And Jesus, we need you. We've been spiritually sick, we've been lost without you, and we love the fact that you have come to reunite us with you. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's the whole story of Christmas, that you have come among us to be God with us. But Jesus, you didn't just stop with us. You want all of us to know you. And so, Father, right now, we pray for those who aren't here. We pray for those that we have committed to loving like you throughout this Christmas season. And Father, we pray that you would draw them to one of our Christmas services. God, give us the words to use as we invite. And Father, we pray that they would come, and we pray, God, that as we invite, we would host them well. We would serve them well. We commit to choosing them over ourselves and to do good towards them, Father. And Father, we pray that you would use these services as a way to draw them towards you, that they would see how much you love them, that they would know how much you love them. And God, we pray that it would begin a journey where they would come to know you and to be reconnected with you, to find that hope and healing and life change through you as well. And so, Father, we commit to loving like you've loved us. And we pray that all throughout our community, that they would see that love has come, love has a name, and its name is Jesus. And we are so grateful for Jesus, so grateful to celebrate him this week. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ridge Community Church's podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.